Amen, amen. So we show love to men by the preaching of the gospel. That is one of our songs in this place. We show love to men by the preaching of the gospel. That is the highest love you can show to mankind by showing them the gospel. Yes, you can give people, share food, share things, do NGO. But the one thing you can give to a man that will last with him eternally is when you give him the gospel of Jesus. It's when you bring him to salvation. When God said, Jesus said this, Paul said, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Let's learn to respect God for his word. He said, this is good and acceptable. The good thing, the acceptable thing is that he wants all men to be saved. Yes, God cares about physical needs. He wants you to do fine. But much more, he cares about your eternal need. He cares about your eternal need. I'm not saying he cares about your eternal need more than your physical need. But just look at the two words, eternal versus temporal. One is definitely more priority. Say, God cares for me. Okay, so Acts chapter 6, verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, So we can, another name we call Christianity, is the faith, okay? Christianity is the faith. We see the word faith used for different things in the Bible, like for instance, you check this, Acts 3:16, you see faith can be used as healing. When can be used for healing, like Acts 3:16, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. That is faith for healing. Acts 14:9, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. But when you hear, so that is faith. But when you hear defeat, definite article, defeat, it refers to salvation. Defeat refers to salvation. Let me show you in some places, like Acts 13:8. But Elimas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from defeat. Can you see that word defeat? Definite article, specific, defeat. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in defeat. Definite in defeat, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14:27, when they were come together and gathered the church together, they realized all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. The same thing. Acts 16:5, and so were the churches established in defeat. Defeat and increase in number daily. So we see Christianity is called defeat. Romans 1:5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to defeat. That's the ministry, defeat. Defeat, that's the ministry of salvation among all nations for his name's sake. So to God, primarily, the primary work of our faith is what you say. How do you know that a man that is born again? What he says, that is the confession, of course. And so now we show our faith by love. To God, the primary work of faith is your confession, but to men, we showcase our faith by love. Don't forget that. To God, the primary work of faith is your confession, but to men, the primary work of faith is your love. We show faith by love. So don't forget, confession is not in effort, it's in speaking. Confession is not in effort, it's in speaking. But love must be demonstrated. That means your confession to God, your confession of your salvation is not, you don't demonstrate, you don't prove a point to God that you are saved. He knows you are saved. So it's all we do is with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is meant to salvation. But to man, love must be demonstrated. As I'm saying, as touching faith in Christ, all you do as salvation is to believe and confess. But to men, you do more than believing and confessing. You show love. So love must be demonstrated. Love is in things. Love is in effort. You make effort. You show love. James 2:26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without work is dead also. As the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without work is dead also. So the greatest showcase of love to the man in sin is to preach the gospel to them. That's the greatest way you can show love to the man in sin, is to preach the gospel to them. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Sorry, the topic again is the appeal of God. Verse 3, for I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. That means they are still alive, but some are falling asleep, some are dead. Verse 7, after that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Verse 9, see this. So I'm the least of the apostles of Christ. Now, I'm not meant to be called an apostle because I pastored the church of God, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Okay, verse 11. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach and so we believe. See verse 12 now. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? See that question. He said, if we are preaching to you that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying that there is no resurrection from the dead? Verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is your preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. 15. Yeah, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not of, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sin. Then they also which have fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we have all men most miserable. Glory to God. So some elements are what explaining to avoid misconception. Please, some elements are what explaining to avoid any misconception, so as to know what you truly believe. Firstly, who is the Christ? He was God that became a man. You must, like, those are the foundations of Christianity. Amen? Those are things that we don't speak against. Those are the foundation on which we build every other thing. When he was saying the law in 2 Timothy chapter 2, nevertheless, the foundation of the law stands sure. That talks about the basis of Christianity, things that we must not strive at. We don't argue it. That is not what we analyze if it's true or not. So you don't analyze if Jesus is Angel Michael or is same thing as Muhammad or something. That is not a bone of contention. Amen. This is the foundation of our faith. If he does not have that pre-incarnate state as God, that changes the whole equation of redemption. Because the only one that can stand before man in place of judgment is one that knew no sin, and that could only be God. So that is why God had to become a man. So that is your Christ. He was God that became a man. You know, never try that. Never have any opinion contrary to that. It's so useless to. Don't, that is not what we argue. That is not what we debate. That is the grand rule. That is what we believe. Those are the creeds in Christianity. Amen? The creed is not praise and worship. It's not drama. It's not ceremony. It is this fast. The fast that Jesus, he was God that became a man. So who is the Christ? He was God that became a man. If you need further clarification, you should get other series in theocratic nature. Get Breaking Dividing Walls, Religion of Peace. We have all these are well explained by me and by Pastor Joy in all those series.
Second one, when we said the death of Christ,
of course, physically we saw him giving up the ghost. But like I told you to open in 2 Corinthians 5:21, we saw that he was made sin for us. Yes, everybody knew that Jesus died. But your own real joker, your own message, your own the past that should concern you so much is that what? He was made sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That is your own business. That is your own joker. That is what you concern yourself with. That is what you fellowship with. That is what you preach. That is what you announce. That is what you say with so much conviction. Is that clear, guys? Is that clear? Okay, so also, when we say the burial of Christ, yes, physically we saw him buried in the tomb of Joseph, that guy, Arimathea, something like that. But Acts 2 actually told us something more. Check Acts 2, verse 31. Acts 2:31. Acts chapter 2, verse 31. Glory, glory, glory. These are great days. These are days of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are days that Christ himself spoke about. These are days that Jesus himself desired to see. Yes, these are, yes. A lot of people from the old generation, they have said, yes, you people, you are only given to, you are given to frivolities. You are given to too much pleasure. You are given to too much jamboree. But hey, in these same days, we are going to see the glory of God. In these same days, despite the noise around, we are going to see men given to this message of Christ. We are going to see men given themselves fully to this ministry. In the midst of the noise shall yet come out glory. In the midst of the confusion, Christ will be glorified. In the midst of this very generation, we might say, yes, we are forsaking God. Yes, we don't think about things of God again. Yes, we are all about our jobs. Yes, we are all about our marriage. But in this same darkest hour, we shall see the light of the glory of Jesus shining, shining in the heart of men, shining in cities, shining in countries, from place to place, from families to families, from territories to territories, from communities to communities. Men, we no longer seek to be quiet. Men, we no longer seek to be quiet about what they have believed. They will be taught. Understanding will come, and boldness will come to take the message from one to one to one to one to one. In the name of Jesus. So we talk about the burial of Christ. Check Acts chapter 2. Acts 2, verse 31. He seen this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. Hallelujah. Praise God. Verse 32. This Jesus whom God has raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, him being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed for this, which you now see and hear. Hallelujah. So, when we talk about his burial is the fact that he went to hell. That means he took the place of the punishment for man, the repercussion of the sins of man. What happened to him? He took it. He took it vitally. Amen. Praise God. Said the repercussion of our sins, he took it. That's the point. The destination that we ought to go to, he was there already for us. That was what is called the burial of Christ. The burial of Christ. And let me say something. You know, if you check Acts chapter 2, what I just finished reading, what was the issue? What was the confusion about? It was about tongues, right? Eh? People spoke in tongues. Praise God. Are you with me? Brakim, people are looking for you outside. People spoke in tongues, and people, they are wondering that, what is this? Why? How come? What is it? You spoke in tongues. I mean, which language is this? But what happened? Peter did not explain that by experience. He did not explain the experience by more experience. He explained the experience by the scriptures. Say by the scriptures. Say by the scriptures. So he explained the experience by the scriptures. If it's the car, sit down, please, for Christ's sake. He explained the experience by the scriptures. So, like, Scripture is the proof of our Christianity. Is the proof. Ajay, bring your phone. Drop it with Pastor Joy. Switch it off. I don't know when you'll get it back. Where am I? 1 Timothy 3:16. So when we talk about the resurrection of Christ, what was his resurrection? It was the fact that being in hell, he became justified. And his justification was our justification. Glory to God. Say his justification was our justification. That's the point. He was justified. You must talk about the fact that today he is not in hell. You must talk about the fact that he was the firstborn from the dead. That is why eternal life is only found in him. The prototokos. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, please, it is worth noting. Think right now. Think about the four things we have discussed. We discussed the death of Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Have you wondered that the spiritual part, which we just discussed, do you know it happened before the physical part? For instance, God became a man before Mary gave birth to Jesus. For instance, he was made sin before he died, he gave up the ghost. Amen? For instance, he was already in hell before his body was taken to the tomb of Joseph. And it's not the day that we saw him come, it's not when we saw him come out from the tomb that he was justified. He was justified even before the first appearance to the first person. See, the spiritual happened before the physical. That means the spiritual was the priority. That is what saved us. You are smarter enough, not just that Jesus died and rose, you can explain. Because it is that details that saves a man. I love the way Pastor Julian puts it. When a man believes in the resurrection of Christ, that same resurrection becomes his own experience. His own experience. So, there is something we are yet to explain from Genesis, from 1 Corinthians 15. We have talked about, let me explain. So, okay, and they were now saying in that place that there is no more resurrection from the dead. Like saying stuff like rapture is already what? Past. That there is nothing like rapture again. Ah. So, and Paul was now saying, if you are saying the saints will not be glorified, that means you are denying the glorification of Jesus. To say that the saints are going to remain like this, that this mortal body is all that it is to us, that means you are denying the vitality of the resurrection of Jesus. Therefore, what happened to Jesus has happened to us. the man that has believed the gospel, he has been glorified. Why? He has the spirit of glory. He has been glorified. He has been glorified. You have been glorified. Glorified, yet awaiting glorification. That means we are awaiting the full manifestation of our glorification. But the vitality has happened to us already. That is what Paul said in Romans chapter 5. Hope that is seen is not hope. Sorry, hope is in Romans 5 or Romans 8. See, for what we don't see, we patiently hope for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. All talking about the immortality of our body. So there is an assurance of immortality in Christ. Assurance of immortality in Christ. Say assurance. Now, there's one concept that still remains in 1 Corinthians 15 that must be explained. Who knows which one? Try and think. Look at it. Sin, right? Thank you. Sin. Now we'll be spending the next of this part and the next part on that word, sin. Please pay attention. Well, let me ask you this question. How does sinful nature look like? Sinful nature, how does it look like? How does it look like? Okay, in the movies, how does it look like? It will be black, right? Amen? Yeah, naked? Darkness, skeleton. First skeleton. Black, shy. Boy, everybody agrees that it must be black. Nice. Okay. Let's start on this slowly. You know, every day, man makes numerous decisions. Huh? Man is just a man of, it's a bin of decisions. And you have your brain, you have your mind, right? You make decisions, you take, okay, left or right. Okay, should I go now? Should I wake up now? You woke up by this thing, you snooze your alarm. That is a decision, right? You know, everything is just decision. You can say, I'm doing this later. What? I change your mind. Decisions. Amen? Your phone can ring in church, yet you choose to go and pick it and miss how many minutes? 10 minutes. What's that? Decision, right? Praise God. So, amen. Now, let me use this word. It's not every wrong decision that is called a sin. It's not every wrong decision that is called a sin that is called rebellion. No. It's not every wrong decision. Don't forget where I started from today. Decisions are the gospel is a function of, you have two things in this gospel, faith in God, right? Love for saints, right? So it is in making decisions contrary to these two that we have what? Sin. It is a contrary decision made to faith in Christ, a contrary decision made as touching love towards saints, that it is in that perimeter that we have what we call sin. Are you with me? Genesis 2:16. So sin is specific. Therefore, you know, there are some prayers we pray in Yoruba land. They say we drink water like we drink sin like we drink water. Huh? Like I'm a shebeni moment. If you complete for me now, we eat sin like what? Like food. There is no possible for you to move and your head will not shake. Like talking about, and in fact, the way they actually say it is that you cannot go an hour without sinning. That is serious. Very serious. And that is just, that's a function of legalism. That is what legalism does to the mind of men. Even when you are okay, you say, I must have sinned. So you now pray that God, in case, if there is any sin in my thought, in my conversation, in my what? Conduct, right? Let me say this. A sin in your thoughts is not yet a sin. Remember the journey of sin. In James, what? James 1. When lust has conceived, right? It bringeth forth sin. When sin is now finished, bringeth forth death. So until lust is fully conceived, that means a thought may be in your heart that you don't agree with. Do you get me? So that debunks the theory that any wrong thoughts that comes to your mind, it means at that time you have sinned. No. E.g., if there's a thought that cut off Enrititor's ear, if I have not agreed with that thought, it's not yet a sin. Are you with me? But since I have agreed with it now, what should I do? Walk in love. Chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, that's Genesis 2:16, commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, thou mayest freely eat, 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, sin is a decision as touching a message. Wrong decision as touching a message. Which is faith in Christ and love to saints. So that's where we find sin. Sin comes out when your wrong decision goes against something specific. Something specific. Are you with me, brethren? Genesis 3, verse 1. The serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, as God said, thou shalt not eat of the trees of the garden. Verse 2. And the woman said, that what? We may eat of the fruit of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. You can see that sin is not everything. Sin is specific. It's just one. You see, chapter 3, verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of it, of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So you can see that it was that specific thing. That's, of course, if you read down, you see that it's because of that specific decision that judgment came. Now, write this down, please, in your note. What we now call the nature of sin is a repetitive action of a particular sin. It's in repeating one sin over and over again. What is referred to as the nature of sin is just, let me say, sin, one sin, maybe A, raised to power 10. A, raised to power 100. That means the same sin in multiple, or the same sin in progression. Are you with me? Nature of sin is not like a being that lives in an unbeliever. When we say the old man, we call him old man, but it can be referred to as an old habit of rebellion. Romans 5. Please don't lose this today. Don't lose this today at all. So in that epic Romans 5, we see sin as both a verb and a noun. This is what confuses people, and that is what let me deal with this right now. If you miss this, you have missed a lot of Romans 5. So sin as a verb, please write this down, is hamartano, hamartano. It means to miss a mark, right? To err, to wander away, hamartano, to violate God's law. It's a verb. We found it used, 47 times, 43 times in the New Testament. But we have sin as a noun, amatia. Unfortunately, this is one was used over 174 times. The same sin, but used as a noun. So let me say this way: when amatano, we mean to violate a divine law. Amatia, we mean the violation of a divine law. Or we can call this a complex aggregate of sin. Aggregate of sin committed. That means we sum it up together. Now I told you earlier, I say there's a repetition. So when amatano is a violate, amatia means a violation. Guess what? Although one is a verb, one is a noun, but both of them are actions. None of them is a nature, like in quotes. There is no woman being called sin. Just like what is just there is just like steal and stealing. Do you know you can actually use stealing as a subject of a sentence? But you cannot use steal. Think. Okay, try and form a sentence and start with steal. Anybody? Huh? Steal that share. Is it still the subject? Is it still the subject? No. That means there is that's what we call a phrase. That is a hidden subject that you have taken away. Are you with me? Because steal the share, you cannot. Who are you talking to? That means there is already an audience. But Hillary steal the share. Subject still is the verb, right? The share is the object. But try and make a sentence starting with stealing. Oh, stealing is what? Is a bad habit. Give me another one. Try. Thank you. Stealing makes one rich. So, make, please. It's actually a good one. To make rich, that rich should be the object right now. Stealing is the subject. Make is what? The verb. So right now, that stealing now that she's talked about, is it still an action? Hello? Is it still an action? Yet, used as a noun. So that you are seeing sin sin or sinning as a noun does not mean it is somebody. It simply means the repetition of the same habit called what? Steal. Just like one steal may not make you rich. But she said, stealing will make her rich. You understand? Continuance. God bless you for that wisdom. Amen. Stealing wisdom. For that, give her a phone back. Give her a phone. Okay. So Romans 5 now, verse 12. Romans 5, verse 12. Are you following?
Glory, glory, glory.
Wherefore, as by one man, sin, that's a noun, violation, entered into the world, and death by violation. Death came by what? Okay, I need your Israel. If you have your phone, come on, use it. I need it to check. Come on. Amen. I need to checkmate. Are you with this word? Now, this says something again, that sin of Adam, no, I've taught this before, that it's not a one-time issue. Because what death came by a noun. Death came by, hold on. I'm coming. Which one is the noun? Noun is the amatano, right? No? Amatia? Okay, the verb is the what? Amatano, right? Okay. By one man, which one entered the, what entered the word? The verb or the noun? Huh? The noun, right? Amatia entered the world. And death by what? The same Amatia, right? And so death passed upon all men, for all have what? Amatano. So, meaning, firstly, please write this down. Firstly, the sin of Adam is not one act. It's a repetition of one act. Now, I've told you as a Christian believer that you must labor on it. Or else you will not get it. It's not just one act. It's repetition. What you just saw in that Genesis 2 and 3 is the simplest summary that Moses could give us of what happened. She gets me. Secondly, sinning is in the world because one man was sinning. Write that down. Sinning was in the world, sinning, which is still an action. Sinning, rebellion, was in the world because one man rebelled. Sinning was in the world because one man was sinning. Not just because one man sinned, not one act. So what happened is that his own sinning, his own rebellion, taught others to sin. That is what he said in the last phrase, for that all manner have sinned. That means men now copied him. It's a matter of copying and paste, not a nature transferred. Not that the sin of Adam was the sin of the whole world, but the sin of Adam influenced men to sin. And influenced all actions, not a nature. All actions. Just like we can say, oh, a man brought GSM to Nigeria, or a man was driving, maybe maybe if nobody has driven past 100 kilometers per hour before, and somebody just came maybe from Lagos that knows how to drive rough, came to a peaceful town that nobody drives rough, just came to the street, and he was now doing 120, 140, pow, pow, pow on the street. By that man's action, what will he do? He will teach others to do the same. Are you with me? That means what is not being done before, somebody taught it, initiated it. Not that as you are giving birth, you are also transferring sin. No. Sins are transferred by what? Actions. 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 That's why there was an evening that some of us in this church, we are discussing about genes and how things are being transferred. And we came to some very serious conclusion. Not today anyway. So, I've written down influence is an influence. It's an influence. None is a nation. Now, but what is the result of that action called sin? Death. Death. Separation. Condemnation. Death. We can call it separation. Don't forget, when anytime I use separation as touching death, the separation is one-sided. It's one-sided. It's not God living man and man living God. Separation is man living God. How is he living God? Condemnation. Condemnation. We heard your voice in the cool of the day and we were afraid because we are naked and we eat ourselves. It's all their own choice. It's all their own making. It's all their own journey. Condemnation. Self-inflicted. Self-initiated journey. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory. So, I said, when I said separation, it means what? It strictly talks about who? Man living. It's man living. It's man running away. It's man fleeing from the Zeotaos. Sorry, from Zeotios. Not Zeotanos. No, Thanos is not in the Bible. It's Theos. So, sin is an action. Death is the result. Verse 13 of Romans 5. Verse 13. For unto the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. So, sin there still refers to what? Actions. Say actions. Before the law came, sin there is now, is a noun, right? Before the law came, violation was in the world. Men were actually violating. But it was not imputed to them because there was no law. Because the law came later when? Exodus chapter 19:20. Thank you. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. That is the period when there was no law. So because there was sin, there was death. How should you see death? Condemnation. Yes, I knew physical death is there, but please, this is scripture. Think more spiritual. Condemnation. Condemnation. That's the death. That's the death. Even the man in hell is in hell because of condemnation. He's there condemned. That is why it's now said, that is why in the new creation in Romans 8, everything was reversed. There is therefore no condemnation to them that is in Christ, whether you like it or not. Why? The law of the spirit of life in Christ sets you free from the law of sin and death. Say condemnation. That's death. That's death. So when we say death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them, now this is not the one that is a slight twist. Even over them which have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, And Adam's transgression is a figure of him that was to come. So if he's saying death reigned over those who did not commit the same unbelief, then that is something to look into. I'm coming. Keep it somewhere. Go to verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Let me say this before I go forward. The only thing, the only common identity of Adam that cuts across both believers and unbelievers is mortality. 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 Mortality, which is physical death anyway. But the death that comes as a result of sin is what? Condemnation. Are you with me? Learn to separate it too. Which death comes as a result of sin? Condemnation. Which death comes as a result of Adam? Mortality. So, the only thing a man may transfer to his born child, physical, biological child, is mortality. Not condemnation. Thank you. See verse 15 now. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Offense. What is what for offense there? Paraptoma, right? Are you with me? Paraptoma, not as the offense, so also is a free gift. Paraptoma is also a noun, yet an action. It means to fall beside, a deviation, a misdeed, a deviation. It's a noun, but an action. Just like steal and stealing, they are both actions. Now, this is the way I'm going. See verse 15 again. Not as the offense, so also is the what? Is the what? Free gift. So if paraptoma, which is the offense, is an action, the next contrast there is what? What is the next contrast there? Free gift. Free gift there is also an action. Write it down. I'm coming. What you see as free gifts there, which is charisma, yes, is a noun, yet an action. I'm coming. I will explain. Charisma. Free gift. Which is like a virtue. For if through the offense of one, many be what? Dead. Please, okay, I'll wait for you. You have to look at it. Please, I must not lose you. I'm here because of you. And you are here because of us. So thanks for being here. Thank you. Okay, are you there? For if through the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. What can you see there? Hold on. He said, if through the offense of one man, many be dead, right? Heads up. How? That means, how are many dead? Tapis, are you following? How are many dead? That means, the offense of one, men copied the offense of one, right? Then they died. Right? That means there is a pattern of offense of one man. Brakim, share with me. Come and sit in front. There's a pattern of the offense of one man, like this, that others copied. Then they died. What is the next construct? Read. Much more, yes? The grace of God. Hold on. If the offense of one is an action, the grace of God there will be what? Because now, oh God. Offense is an action, right? Offense resulted in death. Now, the grace of God, and what's the next thing? Gift by grace, which is, yes, by one, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many. Oh, that means the gift of grace, which we see in one, what will also happen? Men will copy it. That means what Jesus has done will influence people. That means there is an influence that the natural man will receive in the sacrifice of Jesus.
No, you are my man of God. Don't be angry. Just focus.
The action of Jesus abounded to many. The charisma, the same way the action of Adam became the action of many people that made them die, so also the charisma of Jesus, the action of Jesus, will become the action of many, which will cause them to live. That means something Jesus did, people too will do it. They will be influenced by it, which will cause them to live. So write this down. So there is an influence that the sacrifice of Jesus brings upon humanity. There's an influence. It's not automatic. Yes, let me say two things. Yes, the sacrifice, close the door, don't do angry. Yes, the sacrifice saved us. Also, in the sacrifice, we see a pattern of obedience. Please write that down. In Adam, we saw a pattern of disobedience. In Christ, we saw a what? Pattern of obedience. Glory, glory, glory. Verse 16. Come on, small saint. Are you not in the Lord's army? Are you in the Lord's army? Yes, sir. I will never steal from my wife's pot, lie to mommy. Sing the rest now. You will inform me now. Like you have not taught him second nursery school before. The only thing that is missing there is you preach the gospel. It's not there. The gospel is not there. Amen, amen. Come on. Okay, Romans 5, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to... The judgment was by one to condemnation. Judgment there is krima. A decree. It actually means the decision. A decree. A decision. The decision it was by one to condemnation. Don't forget the pattern. The decision of one became the decision of many that made them die. But the free gift. Do you see what I just explained briefly there? What you saw as judgment there was not, it was still action. They call it judgment. But if you check, that means, if you check the Greek, it actually means like, judgment can also mean a resolution, right?
That means after we have considered lawyer A, Izene versus Okwe in the court of law, who will win? Okwe, right? Cleared by the virtue of the anointing of God's Spirit. Amen. So that means they look at lawyer one, lawyer B, A and B, talk for an hour. Then they now come to a conclusion, a decision, a finality. The man in sin, what has he done? He has looked at the grace of God. He has looked at his own way. He has decided, I want to go my own way. That is what is called judgment there. Judgment there is not of God. It's man's decision. Like a summary, a judicial proceeding. Was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Free gift there is also an action. I'm coming. Just follow. Just don't trip off yet. 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which what? Receive what? Abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness. Say gift of righteousness. Shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. So, accepting the abundance of grace, accepting the free gift of righteousness, the gift of no condemnation is an action that results in reigning in life. Like accepting the abundance of grace, accepting that free gift of righteousness, accepting that gift of no condemnation is an action. There's an action to it. There's an action to it. So, let me say it again. What can we call the sin of Adam? Rejecting the abundance of grace. Rejecting the gift of righteousness. That's his sin. Rejecting the abundance of grace. Rejecting the gift of righteousness. Don't forget, Jesus was available for all men. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. He was available for Adam. He was available for all men. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to what? Condemnation. Don't forget, so if you read this alone with forgetting where it's coming from, if you read this without Romans 12, without verse 12, you will think it's just the automatic offense of one that brought about the condemnation. Don't forget there is a missing link. What's the missing link? Influence, right? Influence. The sin of Adam made men sin that made them die. That's what I'm saying. So, if through the offense of one, judgment came upon, and you can see that judgment there is italicized, upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, well, let's do this. Remove those italicized words. Let's read this. Therefore, as by the offense of one, therefore, as by the offense of one upon a man to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one upon all men unto justification. Oh, so the same thing I'm saying. The offense of one influence men to condemnation, then the righteousness of one influence men to justification. One key thing we received in the sacrifice of Christ is an influence for justification. An influence. So there is something about the death of Jesus that brings men to salvation. Don't forget, salvation, the safety of man has been made available even before his death. And don't forget, what is that free gift? Next verse. In case you don't understand what you are saying since.
Next verse, please. Let me wait for everybody. Well done, well done. Okay, verse 19, slowly. For as by one man's disobedience. So, we call it in verse 12, it is called sin, right? Which verse calls it offense? Sin is amatia, right? Now, right, which one calls offense? 15, right? That is paraptoma, right? But what did he use in verse 19? Disobedience. Paraque, right? Disobedience. Many were made sinners. So disobedience equals sin equals what? Offense. So by the obedience of one. So obedience equals what? Free gift equals gift, grace of God. Can you see it? Verse 16, 17. What do we call the obedience of Christ? Huh? Look at your Bible. Huh? Is the grace of God? Yes. Free gift? Yes. Gift of righteousness. So that means what he was calling gift of righteousness since was what? Obedience. Say obedience. Say the obedience of Jesus became my obedience. And the result, he calls it righteousness. Say that made many righteous. The result, righteousness. The obedience of one became man's obedience, then righteousness. So, is the death of Christ automatic that men will are saved? No. In the death of Christ, we saw a free gift. What's that free gift? The obedience of Christ. So in hearing that gospel, the obedience of Christ should become your own obedience to the message. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That is the mindset of condemnation. Mindset. Gevisate kalante kulirost. Yekotata magivonanos. Davakatilanenos and the monos. Rakamanakataba shetemazanestos. The Valera Nesto Governor Sundo Machantas to Governor Sundo. In the name of Jesus. Trotikatis. Yeah, thank you. So, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. That is the mindset of condemnation. But where sin abounded, what happened? Grace did much more abound. Let's read verse 21 together. Want to go? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, the same way sin is an action, grace is also an action. Or there's an action that we also term grace. Obedience. It's a free gift. Same thing Romans calls faith cometh by hearing. That means in hearing the gospel of Christ, you receive a mindset of obedience. You receive a willingness to yield to God. So again, sin is not a nature. Death is a nature. That was the point. The real nature is the one is death. Death. Same way, well, we don't really have to call obedience a nature, but but righteousness is the nature. Obedience is the action that leads to righteousness. John 1:29. Obedience is an action that leads to righteousness. Righteousness being a nature. John 1:29. Amen. 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 The next day, John saw Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. If you have been thinking sins, then you should shake your head small. Yeah. Sin is not what you can find in a GP tank somewhere, or in a soak away, or in a basin. What is sin? An action. So, how come John is saying Jesus will take away an action? Are you getting me? That's the point. Taking away an action. How will this happen? Of course, before you start thinking about Calvinism or selective salvation, go to Matthew 1:21. He's saying he will take away the action of sin of the world. How? That's the question. How? 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 Sin is an action. Don't forget. That means for a man to be born again, it's not about that Jesus died. It's also about the fact that the guy will change his own action from disobedience to obedience. And there is something in the sacrifice of Christ that will make that possible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand me? You understand me? So, is it God that will change the guy's sins to obedience? Yes, but how? So, Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son. This one puts it better. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. He shall save his people from whose sin? Their sin. Let me put it this way. He will convince them from their sin. He will bring them back from their sin. He will save man from going his own way. He will ensure that this man stops rebelling. How will that happen? There is a strong influence in the gospel. There is a strong influence in the gospel of Christ to cause man to change his action of rebelling against God. Hallelujah. A strong influence in the gospel of Christ. A strong influence. Matthew 1:21. Okay. Check Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. Slowly, let's read. Yes, sirs. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good what? Tidings unto the meek. Glory, glory. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Glory, glory. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Verse 2. Just the A part. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the tool of men? Sorry, what is the tool of God to bring man to repentance? You are so far from eternal life. Even if you didn't interpret what I'm saying. See my hand. I said, keyboard, keyboard. I should ask myself. Yeah, no, yeah, yeah. Advocate of fallen brethren. Amen. So, see that is, I mean, there's a lot in this place, okay? Let's read again. Isaiah 61, then we read the Luke's version. 61 verse 1 to 2a. Slowly, want to go. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. See that Luke 4. See that Luke 4. I read 17, we'll take 18 together. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written. Let's read, yes. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me, let's read, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Child. Glory, 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 glory. See, Acts 10. Acts 10, the number 38. See it again. How our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and he with the power of the Holy Ghost, he went about what? Doing good, healing them that are oppressed of the devil. For that what? God was with him. Say good things. In the coming of Christ, we saw an eruption of goodness. We saw a massive outflow of good things. In his death, burial, resurrection, even in his incarnation, a strong eruption of goodness. In his sacrifice, we saw strange goodness, even to the man that does not deserve it. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Let me end with Hebrews 8 for now. Hebrews 8. See, man of his own accord, he will change his action from rebellion to obedience. But he must see what? That goodness of God. It is man that will change. Do you get that? It is man that is sinning. He needs to stop sinning. In the coming of Jesus, we now saw a pattern of obedience. Hebrews 8. Are you there?
Oh, glory to God. Botike maniko mani rosava dadao shadaga dadada.
Let's read verse 11. Let me read verse 11. You read 12 for me. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me. Ay, 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 ay. Why? Next verse. For to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. Message said was, they will get to know me by being kindly forgiven. Hallelujah. Therefore, in that gospel of Christ, there is an appeal of God to man. Therefore, the gospel has a style. Yes, the gospel is a message. Yes, there is a style in the gospel. After today, lots of you, your preaching ministry will change. You will get results. It will not be said that you went to evangelism, you preached to 10. Oh, they say that, they are not hearing. No. You will be particular on goodness. Oh, glory to God. You also know that, hope you know that healing the sick is also goodness. That was why there was so much, I almost want to say, so much even unnecessary healing. Went about doing good, healing them that are oppressed of the devil. That is the appeal of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. Praise God. So we're going to see this. The appeal of God. How does God appeal to man? Funny enough, a whole creation of heaven and earth wants to get men saved. But say, hey, rather than order them to salvation, I will appeal to them. I will appeal to their mindset. Guys, if you really desire a lady and she's not giving you face, but she's not your enemy yet, what do you do? What do? You appeal. You be nice. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is nice to the sinner. In the gospel, we see the niceness of God. Niceness of God. That was why Jesus did not quote that the day of vengeance of our God. Why? That is not an appeal. He said, them that believe are saved. Them that believe it not, that believe not will be damned. That is an information. That's not your message. Your message is not woe to you. No. The appeal of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Say, the appeal of God is on my mouth, is on my lips. Hallelujah. Pray in tongues, everybody. Thank you. Shagata the rest to go over that day. La teke bilas to gabi, ketala rate gabi, da 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 da. Man will have to change his own action of rebellion to obedience. That obedience is called a free gift. It's a free gift. That means this is what a man receives upon hearing the appeal of God. Oh, glory to God. Obedience, it's a gift. The style of our message, the content of our message, bestows free gifts on our listeners. The style, the content, it bestows free gifts on the listeners. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Make volatate, rosa volatate, coca pocati la razatate, la que palanda cosofate kerike zike fila tatata. Yegeminos, yegedemos, yegelemos, rinane zata, rinino zatate, lagade lagada, japolampo nanona, lapora zevi. Clanteke vote malamazo tate. Glory to God. Toka fo tata. We are effective ministers of the New Testament. We know our domain. Good things alone. Good things alone. Oh, glory to God. Po pati mateke. La la na na no sate caste vota tate. La na no zava. La de gevis. Zavico. Zavito. Zavito tate. Pati tata. Yako tataos. Rona no zata. Hallelujah.